Welcome to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders. You've done it all. You've walked the tightrope of success and accomplished so much in your career. Now what? How do you keep redefining your success and expanding your emotional well-being? Join us to hear talk on mindset, motivation, and your growth in handling the challenges you've experienced both in circumstances and with yourself as a leader. Welcome to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders with your host, Tracy Crossley.
Welcome back to another episode of Earned Wisdom for Female Leaders, actually Accomplished Female Leaders. And today I have with me Sarah Miller. Sarah Miller leads an award-winning PR firm in tech and entertainment with 16 years of unparalleled experience creating leaders and defining markets with strategic PR, marketing, and experiential activations with global brands and startups in the tech, entertainment, sports, and lifestyle industry, along with producing the prestigious Media Excellence Awards and host and producer of, well, it was the Media Mavens podcast, but now what is it, Sarah?
The Axis Effect.
I love that. It sounds exciting.
I track it because we're just talking about changing podcast names and I just literally blanked out what my own podcast, the new podcast is. Yeah.
I know. It always takes me a minute. I have to write these things down or I'll forget my name sometimes. So, you know, anyway. No. All right. So we're going to have a quick chat today. And as usual, I always want to ask the question, when you were a little girl, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh my God. I love when people ask that because I don't think I had anything in my head. I always joke around when people ask me, what do you want to do when you're little? I'm like, just rule the world. I didn't know what it meant at the time. I didn't know where in the world. I just like, I'm just going to rule the world. I'll figure it out when I get there. That was pretty much my standard answer until I got into college.
I love that. In college, what happened in college?
I think I just kind of slowly found my beat. I think after college is when I really found out where my place in the world was. It's hard. When you're in high school, you're in grade school, you're in college, you don't really know. And then I think that in your 20s to early 30s really defines who you are, understanding where your value is, where your talent is, where your skills are, and how to be happy with it. So I didn't realize until probably late 20s, that like I wanted to be in strategy, PR, and marketing.
What was it that interested you about that, by the way?
You know what? My senior year of college, I oversaw homecoming, the whole event. And then I became in charge of ASASU's Associated Students. So I did all the big events on the campuses with Ford Motors. I mean, all the big sponsors and everything for the university. I ended up producing all these huge events from homecoming to the biggest events on campus. And that's, I'm like, wait, I like this. I know what I'm doing. So I just kind of follow that cadence throughout my career. I mean, I kind of, you know, like we all do, we all have weird little odd jobs after college and stuff until we kind of find our groove. I just think from that point on, I knew I belonged in experiential events and PR. So I've just followed that same trajectory ever since then.
What is it that excites you about doing it? Because for some people, doing events seems like a pain in the ass, right? Like all the details and everything that you've got to do. But I think for people that are, I don't want to say meant to do it, there's a different obvious relationship to that. So what about for you?
I think it's our events are hard. I am not going to lie. There's no margins. It's a grind. There are tears, painful doing events and long hours. We've done a lot of them successfully, but I mean, we are a very strategic public relations firm. It just happens at the experiential and the events fall under our purview because we've had big clients that we run global events on for music, fashion shows. We ran a few fashion events for New York, here in LA. We've just done such big stuff. We run the world's largest global mobile awards, you know, honoring on leadership and innovation in mobile tech and entertainment. So I love the events, but we are not an event firm. I feel for a lot of these people who are grinding through the event space. We just happen to do a few events that just, we've been very fortunate that put us on the map. But this is the PR part that we're really focused on, unless there's mm-hmm. a need for us. I mean, we've been hired to do big events, produce them, manage them. But that's like maybe 30% of our entire like client base per year.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. I used to do events too, and that's also why I'm like, oh, pain in the ass. But anyway.
Yeah.
And so what characteristics do you feel you bring, not just to what you do, but as a leader? What do you feel are your strong traits in being a leader?
That's a good question, because we're always talking about leadership on our show as well. And I feel like, and just in general, like we all make easy decisions. We can make easy decisions. It's making the hard decisions that I think is a sign of true leadership. I always feel that everybody's got to fail. We all fail. We're only human. I feel it's not so much how you fail, it's how you pick yourself back up, how you just gracefully get back on your feet, keep moving forward, and keep things moving in the right direction. Like, I'm a big believer that you always leave people better than when you like went up to them. And I feel like when it comes to being a CEO and running companies, you know, there's a lot of different forms of leadership. CEO, people just kind of assume that's a great role, but that's an earned role. That's not a given or granted role. You just can't say, hey, I was given the role of a CEO because I got lucky or I knew somebody. And that's a truly earned. It's not for granted. It's not given. And I just feel like there's so many aspects of being a good leader, and people always complain about their failures. And I feel like there's a lot of successes and failures. We learn from our mistakes. We grow. We make sure we don't make the same mistakes. I always see every failure as a success because I learned something, or something came about that wouldn't have happened otherwise at the right time, the right decision. So I feel like being a good leader is having the insight to see ahead. It's making sure your team is appreciated. It's making sure when we make really bad decisions that sometimes affect our team, layoffs, or they get moved from a job, or something happens in a project, or a client fires them. I feel like I may make decisions that's what's best for the firm and my personal path of career that's not going to bode well for somebody else. But if I just make a decision unilaterally and don't talk to you, and I don't make you sit down and understand, this is my decision, you're valued, you're appreciated, it didn't have anything to do with you, and how can I help make it easier for you, even though it was about me and my decision? I feel like people don't understand how to really lead, how to inspire and encourage their team to understand it was a bad decision. You're a CEO, you made it, but I'm still valued, I'm still appreciative, and I know the reason why you made it. I just feel we have to take that extra step with our teams. And I see a lot of big CEOs with big companies. They make decisions, ego-driven, whether it's political, whether it's VCs, whether it's board-driven, but they never see them take the time to sit down with the people it affects on a daily basis. And I always say, and I've been cut from interviews because I'm always like, you never lead with your ego. Like, I just cannot stand
behind. Oh, God, I agree.
Well, but I don't care. But even if it's, can I get your shows about women empowerment and leadership? And I support that, but I'm not going to support somebody. You're going to probably cut me from this. I can't support you just because you're a woman, just because you're a female. There's a lot of men that are horrible leaders, just lead with their ego. They're just assholes to deal with. But there's women that are just power driven and they make bad decisions based on emotions and jealousy, whatever. I support leadership in its truest form of what makes you a true leader. I don't look at if you're male or female to some extent, because that doesn't make me a good leader. I can't go on with biasness just because I'm a female leader myself. And I know that upsets people. Well, given who you are, you need to support other women. No, I support you because you earn my respect. You earn my support. Not because the way you look or if you're male or female. And I always get caught up in those conversations. Like, I feel like I might fall into the trap when I say that out loud.
It took me many, many years, by the way, to actually go, it's different for women than it is for men. And part of the reason I'm doing this podcast is because there is such a divide, women against women, and women who do, you know, say, oh, I'm there for you, but they're there for you if somebody's not competitive with them. If somebody's competitive with you, are you there for them? Probably not, because you're afraid, right? You're threatened by that. And so goes to what I want to ask you next, which is, what do you think of the statistic that says only 21% of CEOs in the United States are female? What do you think about that? What are your thoughts around that?
I absolutely, absolutely love that you just said that. Tracy, honestly, I was so good to hear another female say that. I always believe that the reason why most women don't get ahead is not because you're in a male-dominated industry. It's not because of other men. It's because other women, because women keep other women down, whether it's they're jealous because of how they look, they're younger. It's not a competition. Vendors, whether you hire an agency, hire some outside, women keep other women down. And it's sad because it's such a society plays this whole emphasis on youth and beauty. And when you get some of these women that are getting older and they have younger women coming in, they get jealous. They try to compare themselves to them. They try to say, oh, well, I could be your sister. Well, you're older than my mom, so that's not possible. But it's like they're doing everything that, you know, say, it's just like I had somebody say that. And it's just like, but I think women are that insecurity, that fear is what keeps them down. I think there is a place at the table for women leaders. At the table with men.
Yeah.
We worked with this amazing person, Anjali Shasti, head of engineering at Intel. And I had her on a panel because we worked with them for years. And she was very clear. I'm at that table because I deserve to be at that table. I don't care who's around me. It doesn't matter. I'm there because I deserve to be there. And she held her ground as the only or the first female engineer leader at Intel. And I love that she held her ground. It's not about it. Like I've seen women say, well, I didn't get this job or I didn't get that on panels because there were men there and I'm a female and I keep my mouth shut. But what I want to say is, no, it's because you're an idiot because you're blaming men and you may not be qualified for the job. But then you women have that thing where they just have that male bashing as a reason why. And I'm like, if you're smart, intuitive, no, you could walk the walk, talk the talk. Do what you need to get in the door. But once you're in that room, you need to command attention, respect from that room. And if you could do that, it doesn't matter who you are. And I feel, and I do feel like some women are a little intimidated when they walk into a room full of men. I do feel like they worry about, you know, I got to be super conservative and this is going to be so twisted in the conversation. It's not a use your sexuality to get in the boardroom, but don't be afraid to get a blowout, to look good. Don't be like you have to be buttoned up and like hair in a bun, glasses, because you're so afraid if the wrong thing said, you're the female asking for it. And I think that's this misconception of society. No, you're a female, dress the way you want to dress, own your leadership, walk in, command attention and don't back down. That doesn't make a difference because men do that. So why can't women do that? And this is, I think, where my struggle with other women on board on panels. Like, I decided I will never moderate a women's panel again because I cannot back the men bashing of why I can't get ahead. It's a boys club. No, it may be because you're intimidated. You're coming off as a little bit too harsh or too this as a defense. Just be you. Own your leadership. Stand up. And be alongside them. And I think that's probably why I've gone so far, because I've never been intimidated. I don't give a shit. I honestly don't. I don't care if there's 5 men in a room. I'm going to walk in and be, I'm more excited to walk into a big meeting or a boardroom closing deals when there's mainly men than women, because there's no emotions. There's no jealousy. There's no, you know, oh, you know, I'm in a better Dolce & Gabbana suit or I had a blowout or I look this and look that. No, it has nothing to do with anything. Don't be intimidated. Look at the quality and the leadership. So I feel it's so bad to say this, but I've had so many meetings with women, so many men. They've all had been good. They've been bad. They're, you know, laws of attraction. But I think women need to own and embrace who they are and walk in and demand the attention, not walk in knowing they may not be as qualified, but they deserve the chance just because they're a woman. And then they go public. Well, I didn't get this job because 5 men were in there. No.
Oh, no.
That's not, right. It doesn't work. Nike did that. Nike's president and 3 other executive team members quit, resigned because a female said she was passed over for a job because there were men. And she started using the Me Too movement. Well, he's this, he's that.
That's such a victim. I'm sorry. But that's, I got to tell you. Putting women in a victimized position and putting, and as a woman, putting yourself in the victimized position does not empower you. It never brings you happiness, success, or anything you want, even if it, you have it on the outside. You feel like shit on the inside. And that's the whole purpose of my podcast, by the way, is how women stand in their own way and use excuses that are given to them by society or given to them because there are these biases and you can either feed into them or not. But I think for a lot of women, they do, especially women that are assertive. They might go, oh, okay, I'm going to do this. And then something in their head says, oh, shit, I'm not being that nice girl. oh, I'm not doing what everybody expects of me. I better pull back. I better disappear. Oh, look at her over there, like the stuff you were just saying. So this is a crap I want women to work through and get through, because we're never going to get it together and take over the world otherwise.
Well, I think I do. I think women are, I mean, they're their own, I mean, they're scared of their own shadow. They're in their own shadow. They're leading, mm-hmm. then they freak out, they pull back, and they blame it on men. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. It doesn't, you don't have to be assertive. Well, let's look at most CEOs. Most good CEOs are assertive. I mean, let's just break it down. Mm-hmm. I did this great podcast with Steve Miller on athletes. Most athletes are better CEOs, better leaders. They face it head on. They know the challenge. They know how to lead a team on or off the field. And it's the same thing. There's leaders and there's followers. You just got to decide yeah. which one you are. But I don't feel that being a female makes you a better or worse leader. I know a lot of men who are bad leaders, who are bad CEOs, and who don't know. And I'm like, how the hell did you get that monster job? Because you're not qualified, boys club or not. Well, it doesn't matter if you know the people, network, show your value, know your worth, and go for it. I hate that victim. I do. And we saw that a lot of years ago with that Me Too movement of women coming out and bashing on men and making a big deal, where men weren't quitting their jobs and leaving because they did anything wrong. They didn't want the drama dragged into their lives, into their business, because it just derails your focus. It's distracting. And that, I think, is where the messaging got lost with women. As a male, you didn't leave because you didn't think wrong, because I'm a victim. You don't want the drama and the emotional drama coming in to your work, into your team. And it's easier to walk away from you than to actually talk to you. And I feel like that whole messiness between men and women in the boardroom is not needed. 90% of it's not even factual. But I think as women, sometimes they spin that up in their head as a reason to keep their guard up, so they don't have to let their guard down and be vulnerable to taking criticism or to walking into a room full of men. And I just think there's so many different layers to why this happens. And I think we mm-hmm. break it all the layers down. There's some really amazing women who deserve to be there, but they're getting in their own way to do it.
Right, right. I think that women absolutely should have equal opportunity. And my thing is about not feeding into things that victimize us yeah. further, you know, and unfortunately the Me Too movement tended to go in that direction, because I think the media has a lot to do with it and how it portrays women. Yeah. And then women go, oh, okay, I'm going to go ahead and go in this direction since that's what's being portrayed. And I look at, okay, how do we bring women together? And so, you know, before we wrap it up today, what I'd like to know from you is, how do we bring women together? How do we bring female leaders together? You know, to me, it's about getting past your own shit. But specifically for you, what would you say?
I think it's just finding those like-minded people around you. I think no matter what you do, like I always say, you got to surround yourself with people that feel like sunshine. I always say that. Because I feel like if somebody's going to make you feel good, whether it's a male or female, because it's somebody in a bigger executive position or somebody you trust and look up to, that's what you need. You need that encouragement. You need to be surrounded with other people that prop you up, that understand your value, your worth, that support you. It's not a competition. They generally want you to do well. They're generally happy and excited for you when something good happens and helps you figure out, hey, that's a great idea, Tracy, but try doing X, Y, and Z to make it better. Trust me, that's where you want to go and add. I mean, you just got to be that support. And I think if you don't have that in any of your friends, anybody around you, don't be around them. And I think it's that get off the bandwagon. Just get off and go in a different direction. There's women out there who want to help and support you. And if one isn't serving you, then don't waste your time. Keep looking. And I don't care if it's male or female, because I have some amazing male mentors and friends around me. And I have some great women friends around me, and they're all my advisors. I go to all of them for different reasons. If they don't serve you and they're not supporting you, don't waste your time with them. And I do see a lot of these women conferences and stuff, but I feel like there's not enough of them. I feel like mm-hmm. they're very focused on the business aspects, or they're focused too strongly on being a victim, why you're fighting all these men. I've never seen anything balanced. Like, damn, that CEO, I could go back and I could use those steps to be a better CEO, to be a better person, regardless of if they're wearing a skirt or not on stage. Those are the kind of conferences and leadership programs I don't think we have enough of.
I love that. And I agree with you 100% on what events we should be having. I'm always looking for something that I feel is empowering to me and would be empowering for other women attending. So Sarah, this has been such an awesome conversation. I want to keep asking you questions and talking, but we have a time constraint, unfortunately. So
no worries.
I know. Yeah. I was like, oh, we can do this in 20 minutes and we're doing it.
It's such a good conversation to have with like-minded individuals. You always know the people that you want to keep around beyond a five-minute conversation, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So for the listeners, where can they find you?
Axis-entertainment.com, A-X-I-S. Am I going to be found on LinkedIn? I think Sarah Miller/LA. I mean, I'm all over Instagram, Facebook as it's Glamour Girl LA, but the website's the best probably, AXIS-entertainment.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. And I will probably ask you to come back so we can finish up our conversation here.
Yeah,
so
it'd be great.
I'd love that. Okay, you guys.
It's so good, Tracy. Thank you so much.
You are absolutely welcome. And thank you everybody for tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining today. For more information on Tracy and her programs and to set up a discovery session, email business@tracycrossley.com. That's business@tracycrossley.com, and go to tracycrossley.com to get your free download entitled Stop Your Inner Dictator. Thank you for tuning in to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders.